We've been working off of a theme here for Christmas called A Season of Peace. And I want to talk about that word season for just a moment. It's a word that it's the basis of what we've been doing here, what we've been talking about here in this month of December. But it's God sort of has a play on words. We use it in a couple of different ways, and God does the same. The first time we see the word season actually is in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And we find that God said he placed the stars in the heavens to be for signs and for seasons. And what he meant by that was a season is a certain period of time that is it's temporary, but it's recurring. In other words, it's a regular occurrence, but it's a very temporary time, and it's marked usually by weather patterns. You know, we're in the dreaded season of winter, aren't we? I mean, it's here. It feels like it's here. I was feeling it this morning, standing outside. I probably should have brought a bigger coat, but we're in this season of winter right now. It's temporary though. So winter comes every year. It's a recurring thing and so forth. But it comes in stages. Now we've been talking about a season of peace. A season of peace then is an example of man-made seasons. See, we also make some seasons. We have football season. Well, sort of, this year. And, you know, we have these periods of time where we call maybe the Christmas season. And what we're working off of here is a season of peace. And what we're trying to find is peace in our homes during this time when, honestly, it can be very, very unpeaceful in a lot of homes. Christmas can be a time of great difficulty, of great stress. Many times Christmas brings out old hurts, or brings out differences in family members. And many times it brings out insecurity in a lot of parents. A lot of parents don't have the kind of money that other parents have, and they'd have to deal with that. And by the way, if you're a child in the room, I want you to know something. Don't you ever judge your mom and dad by how much money they spend on you. Amen. Let me just say, the more they spend on you, maybe, I'm not going to say that to the kids, never mind. It should never be based on how much money they spend on you. You know, even if they have it, they shouldn't, because most of you are spoiled anyway. So I'm just kidding. It's true, but I'm just kidding. We don't want to get into that. But you know, this can be a very difficult time for many people. This is a very, very difficult time for those of you who have lost somebody, especially this year. Somebody very close. I mentioned I wouldn't hurt you, Sherry. I don't mean to hurt you, but yeah, I think of you. I can't help but think of you. Sherry lost the love of her life just a few months ago. And so this is a first Christmas for many without a loved one. First, holiday time. And so anyway, the point is, the Bible talks about a season being this temporary time where and it's marked by certain characteristics. But then we also use the word season in another way. There's another biblical concept of season, which we find Jesus talking about, actually, and it's the basis of what I want to share with you this morning in this last message about a season of peace. And we find it in Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 50. Let's take a look at Jesus' words. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said this, "Salt is good." All right, now, don't listen to the doctors out there who say that salt is bad for you, okay? I understand. You can listen to them when you're in their office, but right now we're talking about Jesus' words, and you know, I'm never going to be one to disagree with Jesus. Salt is good, but notice then he said something. He said, but if the salt has lost its saltness, which is a very interesting concept, how can you season it? Now, we'll get into that. I'll break that verse down here in just a minute, but what exactly is salt? Well, in the Bible day, salt was very, very important. Salt did two things. It preserved things. They didn't have refrigerators. So salt was used, they heavily salted meat, and that would preserve it, kind of like we dry, make jerky, the kind of things today. So it was used to preserve food, but its main reason is still in use today. We still do it. You salt things because it makes them taste better, right? We've all, you know, everybody, you know, most people love to go to the movie theater and get movie theater popcorn. Why do people like movie theater popcorn? Because it has lots of butter and lots of salt. And the truth is, popcorn is really just kind of a medium for the flavor of butter and salt, right? I mean, that's all it is. It just sort of carries the flavor. But popcorn all by itself, can you imagine eating potato chips with no salt or French fries with no salt, you know, or anything with no salt for that matter? And, you know, so in the Bible days, salt was used to make things taste better. And it still is what makes things taste better. And so Jesus was making a point here. He said, listen, salt is good. It's good as a preservative. It makes things taste better. But here's that word. You know, that word, anytime you see the word but, it always implies a 180 degree turn, right? He said, salt is good. You're going this direction, but, and but always turns it around 180 degrees. He said, but if the salt has lost its saltness, you know, that's an interesting word. You know, it means if it's lost its ability, if it's lost its flavor, we could probably, you know, put it that way. In fact, Jesus put it that way. You know, it changes things. He said, if it's lost its saltness, he said, then what do you do? Because salt is what makes other things taste good. But if a salt loses its saltness, then what's it good for? There is nothing else to make it taste better, because it is the thing that's supposed to make everything else good. Now, let me say this first. So salt was a big commodity in Israel, and especially in the Bible eras, and it was harvested during the dry times. It was harvested many times during drought times, because the salty water would fill up, and as the water would evaporate, you know, the salt would be left behind, the minerals would be left behind, and that was kind of scraped together. It's harvested that way, and it's still done that way all over the world. But but if it's not kept carefully, if it's not kept out of the sunlight, if it's not kept out of the rain, then it loses its saltness. It becomes not nearly as pleasurable. Now, I always think about Dylan whenever I talk about salt. I've talked about salt a few times, but a little different today. But Dylan, I always think about you. Dylan's a chef, and a few years ago, Dylan, I don't know if you remember, we were at the old building. We were doing a singles mixer. Remember, we did a breakfast night. Dylan came in with a portable cooktop, and he was making. We were doing a breakfast thing for all the seniors, all the singles, and he was making on-demand omelets. Okay, and when we were doing the prep work, so I said, Dylan, what do you need me to do to help you? And he said, I need you to take this pepper. I need you to crack it. And so I had to fill this bowl up with fresh cracked pepper, and because Dylan doesn't use pepper out of a shaker, no chef does, right? And then he said this, and he said, now I want you to take this salt. And I said, well, we have salt back there. And he said, no, you don't. He said, you don't have salt. You have table salt, which isn't salt. And he taught me, and he said, look, the salt is everything. When it comes to flavorings, using the right kind, if you have iodized salt in your cupboard, you know, you need to go home and throw that away. Isn't that right? Because it's what? Yeah, it's just chemical. It doesn't taste like salt or the way it's supposed to. And this is kind of what Jesus was talking about. And he said, look, he said, if your salt, you see, basically that salt that most people have in a shaker or they buy like that, it's lost its saltness. And it's not really good for anything. In fact, Jesus will tell us here in a few minutes what it is good for, and we'll see that. But here's the point I wanted to make about that. He said, look, if you have salt in your life, if you have salt that does not have its saltness anymore. And I'll explain that in a minute. He said, well, you know, it's not doing you any good. I wonder, and I believe that's symbolic for many of us, I wonder how many things we bring into our lives to make our lives taste better. You know, I think we can all probably look back on times in our lives where things we brought into our lives because we're looking for it to make our lives more pleasurable, our lives more enjoyable, our lives more flavorful. You know, it may be people. Maybe it was that first husband, that first wife. And I don't mean to, you know, please understand, I'm not being disrespectful to anybody's exes. I'm just simply saying we bring people into our lives sometimes because we think that will make our lives better. And many times it does for a season. You know, I wonder if it's that habit, it's that drug, it's that alcohol, it's the food maybe that we bring into our lives, it's the pornography, it's some addiction that is brought into our lives because we're trying to make our lives better. We're trying to make our lives more pleasurable, our lives more enjoyable. Maybe it's that group of friends, that our teenagers. You know, maybe remember when you were in high school and there was always that one group of popular people that if you could just bring those people into your lives, your life would be so much better, and so forth. We get all that. You know, maybe it's technology, it's TVs, it's cell phones, it's, you know, all these things. The computer. We bring these things into our lives, and here's the point. So we bring these things into our lives because we think they will make our lives better, make our lives more pleasurable, make our lives taste better. But then we find out very, very quickly that those only last for a short season. And then suddenly we're left with a situation like Jesus talks about here, where he says, your salt has lost its saltness. That thing that you brought into your life, it's not bringing you pleasure anymore, is it? That habit that we started, that addiction that got started with just simply looking for pleasure, looking for an escape, trying to get through the day, trying to make my life taste a little bit better at the end of the day, and so I'm going to use this, drink this, shoot this, whatever it is, or we're going to watch this, we're going to hang around these people, whatever that is, whatever that salt is in your life, whether you're here, whether you're at home. And then we wake up one day and we realize, man, that thing that I brought into my life to make my life better, now it's making my life bitter. Now it's making my life not nearly enjoyable, and it certainly is not bringing peace into our lives. I want to say it this way, and in fact, I'm just going to put it up on the screen. Maybe you can help me remember. That thing that you brought into your life to season it was only good for a season. And I think we all have something like that in our lives, don't we? You know, there's sometimes it's something that we think about. Sometimes it's the emotions we hold on to because somebody wronged us. You know, and for a while we think about revenge and how good that would be, and that helps us get through maybe those early times, but then we realize after a while that there's something very, very wrong, and what we brought into our lives to season it only lasted for a season, and now there's nothing in it that resembles good. There's nothing in it that resembles peace. Well, Jesus wants to help us today, because there is something that we can do with it. In fact, let me just show you what Jesus said. So Jesus said this. He said, whatever that thing is, all right, please stay with that illustration if you could. Whatever that salt is that you brought into your life that for a while made your life better, for a while made you happier, for a while brought you some pleasure, some temporary pleasure, and he said, for whatever, but now it's not there, it's not that pleasurable anymore. In fact, it's not bringing you any pleasure, and it's certainly not bringing peace to your home. Maybe it's causing a problem in your marriage. Maybe it's causing a problem in with you and your young people, your children. Maybe it's causing a problem between you and your friends. Maybe it cost you your job. Whatever it is, whatever that salt is that's lost its seasoning, lost its ability to make your life better, here's what Jesus said about it. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 13, Jesus said, listen, if the salt has lost his flavor, how can it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out. Cast out. Jesus said, listen, if you brought something into your life years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, last week, a few months ago, in 2020, whatever the situation, he said, whatever it was you brought into your life, that friend, that person, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, this group of friends, these people who say they're my friends, and all they want me to party with them, and all these things, and whatever that situation is, this thing I bought, or this thing that I work for, all these things, he said, the best thing you can do is cast it out. He said, get rid of that salt because you can't fix it. Now listen, I know, by the way, if you're married, the salt is not your husband. The answer is not to cast your husband out. He can be fixed, okay? He can be fixed. He can be worked on. God can work on him. But there are a lot of things that God is saying, you just need to get that out of your life. You need to get that thing out of your life. It's causing you nothing but heartache and trouble. And it is the one thing that's keeping you from having a season of peace. So, Jesus said, you need to cast it out. But you know, that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? It's real easy to say that. You know, what was that old song back from probably the 60s? Breaking up is hard to do. And it is. You know, nobody wants to break up with someone that they love or they like. You know, maybe if it's a person, it's hard to do that. It's hard to get rid of things. It's hard to give away. It's hard to get things out of our lives. It's hard to beat a habit. And one of the reasons that it's so hard to get rid of something in our life, look, it's our teenagers. One of the reasons it's so hard for our teenagers maybe to break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend that's not good for them, or to get rid of a friend that is not really a friend, is because when you get rid of something, it leaves a void. It leaves an emptiness. Young ladies, they won't get rid of a lousy guy because they're thinking the wrong guy, a lousy guy, is better than no guy. Let me just say, that's not true, but I can't explain that to you, and I can't convince you of that, and sadly, that's not. So it is hard. You know, kicking old habits, letting go of things. Letting go of things that for a while sort of gave us some pleasure. Even things like forgiveness. Letting go of grudges. Letting go of anger. It's very, very hard to let go of anger when someone has wronged you, isn't it? When someone has hurt you, perhaps it's even from your childhood, and somebody has hurt you, maybe somebody even abused you, and it's very, very hard to let that go. But we must understand that is bad salt in our lives. Amen. That is salt that has lost its ability to bring us any pleasure, and in fact, it's bringing us far more displeasure, and it's keeping us from having peace. And so we think about these things, you know, the wrongs done to us and so forth, the guilt. Guilt is a hard thing to let go of. There are a lot of people right now suffering, a lot of moms right now. Okay, all the moms, please hear, whether you're home or whether you're here, please hear me. Whatever mistakes you made for your children when they were young, they can overcome that, and you're not alone. Every mother makes mistakes. You fellows, you really ought to help me here. Every mom makes mistakes. You fathers, every father makes mistakes. Every father does things he looks back on and wishes he could do over again. We don't have time machines. And guilt doesn't do it. Maybe for a while, guilt was a good thing. You know, we should feel a little guilt when we realize we've done wrong. Sometimes we don't even realize how wrong we've been until later in life, do we? But there comes a point where guilt becomes more of an excuse and say, well, that's just how I am, or that's just how I'm wired, that's just how I'm made, or whatever. And many times, though, guilt will keep us from being able to move on with life, and guilt becomes this kind of salt that Jesus said, that is good for nothing in your life. That guilt is not motivating you to do anything, it's motivating you to not do something for anybody else. It's motivating you to not try to be a grandparent, or it's motivating you to not try to be a good student in school. All these things. This guilt sometimes can just keep us from doing the things we ought to do. And Jesus is classifying all of those things. He said there was a time when it might have been good. There was a time when it was making your life better. But those days are over, and now that's no longer making your life better. Cast it out. But it's hard because it leaves a void. Well, I don't know what to do. And if I forgive that person who did that thing to me, I don't know what would I do. I don't know how I would even deal with that. I don't know how would I see them? How would I talk to them? How would I move on with my life? Because that's such a part of your life, and it would leave a void. Well, Jesus has very, very good news for us, and we're going to find out what that is by going back to the very first verse that we looked at. In fact, the only other verse we looked at back in the book of Mark. We didn't read the whole verse. Those of you that are following along in your Bibles, you know I didn't read the whole verse. We read in, go back to the book of Mark, please, in chapter 9. Now let's read the whole verse. Now watch what Jesus said. Jesus says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, how can you season it? We know he said, cast it out. Then watch what he said, and this is an amazing statement that we must really kind of get our heads around this morning. He said, have salt in yourselves. Have salt in yourselves, and then watch what he said as a bonus, and have peace one with another. He said, what needs to happen with all those things that we've been talking about? He said, you need to replace all those old salts of your life with the good that's already in you. I'm going to say that again, because it sounds kind of cliche, but please focus on that. He said, you need to replace all those old salts in your life, those bad salts, those ones that have gone bad. They're not doing it anymore. They're just bringing bitterness instead of better. And he said, you need to replace that with the salt that's already in yourself. Do you know Jesus had already told his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. He said, if you're one of mine, you're the salt of the earth already. There is salt inside of you. Now I know, again, somebody who's bound to, you know, okay, so if you're sitting there right now, here's what just now happened all over here and all over at home. Here's what happened. I said, you are salt. You are the salt of the earth. And there's a whole bunch of spirits who said, well, I'm not. I'm not good. I'm not salt. I'm not all these things you talk about. And I'll tell you why. And it's the guilt in you. It's the lack of self-esteem in you. It's all those negative feelings in you. And I'll tell you why you can't find the salt in you. Because all the space in your spirit is being taken up with bad salt. Guilt is residing in your spirit, and anger is residing in your spirit, and bitterness is residing in your spirit, where good salt should be able to come out of you. If Jesus said you are salt, you're salt. Thank you, Tom. Hey, if Jesus says you're His, you're His. If Jesus says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If Jesus says you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven. And if you've trusted Him as your Savior, you're all of those things. If Jesus said you're reborn, then you're reborn. The day you got saved, you began a brand new life. All those things that you're remembering from your past, those are all gone. And even if you were already a child of God and then you did those terrible things you feel so bad about, guess what? Jesus said those are gone too, because if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, you can't fix that old bad salt. Throw it out and replace it with the salt that's already in you. He said, the goodness is already in you. Be the salt for others. You know, that person who hurt you, that person who wronged you, that person who did something that you just can't get over, you just can't get past, that person had bad salt too. Something caused that person to do what he or she did to you. They were broken too. We're all broken, yes? Amen. Just in different ways. Amen. And so Jesus is wanting us to move on. He said, I want you to replace the bad salt in your life. You've got salt in yourself already. You know, that person that you need to forgive, child of God, those of you at home, that person that you need to forgive, it may not even make any difference to them. They may not even care if you forgive them. They may be so messed up in their lives that they don't even care if you forgive them. They don't talk to you. They don't want to talk to you. Whatever that is. But here's the thing. Even if it doesn't affect them at all, it will affect you. It will make you better to forgive them. Could you give yourself the best Christmas gift in this world this Christmas? Forgive somebody. So, well, it's giving a gift to them. No, it's not, because they probably don't care. But it's a good gift for you. Forgive yourself. Forgive them. Forgive them. When you forgive them, you are casting out that bad salt that's been sitting there for so long, taking up space in your spirit, and now there's room for that smile to come back to your face, that joy to come back to your heart, that salt to come back up to the surface. And when you make the salt that's already in you come up to the surface, guess what? You make life better for everybody around you. Nobody likes a sourpuss. Nobody likes a grouch. Grinches get pinches. That's what we say around here. Okay, that's right. Ben is bruised from head to toe. That's how it works. Letting go of old grudges and habits and addictions will open up room in you for the salt that's already in you. Let me just say this. Let me give you one more. Let me give you something else to just kind of mull over here. In this season of peace, you can season your life with peace. You can season your life with peace. Salt is a commodity in Israel. Salt is a great commodity in Israel. It's a great commodity in the world. I have a gift for each one of you. I'm going to give to you in just a few minutes. Let me say a couple things first. You know, the gift you could give yourself this year for Christmas would be to forgive someone, to let go of something, to have compassion, maybe to give, make it about somebody else. But I want to ask you a question. What is your salt? So I don't have any salt inside of me, Pastor. My life's so messed up. I'm so angry. I'm so bitter all the time. Okay, you have bad salt. You've got that table salt, right, Dylan? They got that table salt in them. You got that salt that's been so diluted, so corrupted, it's not doing for you what it once did. Get rid of that. And Jesus said, you have salt inside of you. But in order for it to come out, in order for you to feel better, you must let go of those things. You must let go of the grudge. You must let go of the bitterness. You say, well, but that's like saying it was okay. No one's ever going to say it was okay, whatever that person did to you. It's not okay. You know, that ex who hurt you, that person who broke up with you, that person who robbed you, that person who did that, whatever it is, talked about you, all those things. We can't fix that. Jesus said, look, that can't be fixed. You know, something that's been posted online can't be unposted. I mean, it can be, but there's always somebody with a screenshot. Right? All these famous people are finding that out. That's all bad salt. But there is good salt in you. There is really good salt in you. I said salt is a commodity in Israel. And they, you know, especially around the Dead Sea, there's a lot of salt harvested. And I wanted you to have something from there. And so I purchased a lot of specially harvested finishing salts from there. And I've flavored them a little bit. Dylan, I need you to test this for me, okay, buddy? Here, take this one. Now tell me, that's not iodized salt. That's good, huh? It's got something else in it, too. Not just bacon. But, and I'm going to send one of these home with each one of you today. And I just hope that you don't cook with them, you sprinkle them on your food. They just make the food taste better. So you vegetarians, you take two. there's several different kinds. And here's what I did. So I made several different kinds back there. There's some that I smoked. It's just smoke. It's got a smoky flavor. It's smoked salt. There's some that is habanero lime. If you like a little heat, and for you lightweights, there's some just plain lime for the top of your margarita glass. So, hey, whatever gets you through Christmas, folks. Now listen, because we're all different, yes? But Jesus said there's salt in each one of us. Let your particular flavor come out. Look for the salt in those people that you're going to be with in the next few days. Look for the good in them. There's good in them too. Look for that. Bring that salt out. And in your life, get rid of that old salt. Get rid of that guilt. Get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that anger, that unforgiveness. Get rid of that memory. Listen, I all of you at home, please, I wish I could walk back there and just get right into that camera. But and this is a message for everybody. And I say this with all the love, and I mean this with all the love that's in my heart as your pastor. The statute of limitations on your childhood hurts ran out long time ago. I am never going to tell you that you need to just forget about it, because you never probably will forget about it. But the time for keeping track of it is long past. Let it go. Let it go. And if you're the one who's hurt somebody and you've tried to make it right, then let it go. It's off your plate now. If you've asked forgiveness, you tried to make it right as best you could, you've tried to make restitution the best you could, and they won't accept that, that's their problem. Too bad, so sad. That's their bad salt they're keeping around in their lives. You move on with yours and let it go. Before you leave today, I have those back on the table that I want you to take with you. Here's my invitation this morning is, can I ask you, if you're already a child of God, what is the bad salt in your life right now? You're still at home. Let's keep everybody at home here for a while. You're listening in at home. What is the bad salt? What is the thing that is keeping you from having peace? What is the thing that is hurting you so much? Can you let that go and make room for the salt that Jesus said was in you? There's a joy in you. You just can't find it because there's no space for it. There's a forgiveness in you. You just can't find it because there's too much unforgiveness still sitting there. There's a self-esteem in you. You just can't find it because you've got guilt that you're allowing to rest in your spirit. Let it go. If Jesus says you can let it go, then you can let it go. It's time to get up, folks. The rooster is crowing. Is that somebody's way of telling me,
no,
time for the message to be over, Pastor?
It's a strange
I hear you. Loud and clear. Listen, would you please try to let something go before Christmas and make room in your spirit for some joy and some peace instead? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you please, during this invitation we're about to have, would you seek out Mauricio in the back, or Billy, he'll be up front, or someone else, Robert, he's right there. Find somebody, one of our leaders, or come up to me, and I'll have somebody pray with you and help you with whatever's burdening your heart, particularly if you would like to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and never worry about where you'll spend eternity. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for